13th chapter of John. Reading John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Father, we come to you now asking for wisdom, asking for understanding as we come to these pages. We know that thy word is truth, but we know also that our minds are dull and unspiritual. We ask you to move in power upon our hearts by your Spirit to help us understand the things that can transform us, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son. We're so thankful indeed that each day you promise never to leave us or forsake us. You promise to be with us, to feed us from your word, to encourage our heart. And our part in the matter is only to look to you and love you and trust you to do what you said in your word that you would do. And we pray that you'll give us the wisdom to see the need to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow thee. And we ask you to help us realize that we're living the last days. We're living when men's hearts are failing for fear, for looking after the things that are coming up upon the earth. And we're living in the time when every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. We pray that you'll help us to see that, to understand it, to believe it, because you've said it. And we pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and for his sake, amen. This is number 17 in a series of sermons on Bible love. This one is entitled Love One Another. I want to tell you a little bit about where my sermons come from. At least where I try to get them. There's hardly been a time that I have preached in the last 20 years that I haven't carefully discussed James chapter 1 and verse 5 with the Lord. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, scoldeth not, and it shall be given. That's an amazing statement. He's talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to any people. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask and it shall be given. Not just given, but given liberally. Not just given liberally, but given without scolding. You can't come too often. You can't ask too much. The Lord has promised to be available to help us when we lack wisdom. Those who claim to be experts in the preaching field say that I ought to be meditating on your needs. But I'd rather not have a nervous breakdown, if you don't mind. There are so many different people with so many different needs, it would be impossible to even enumerate them, much less preach about them. When you come up here to stand in front of a room full of people, you're talking to people who are not saved. You're talking to people who are little children of the Lord. You're talking to those who are young men and fathers in the Lord. It's like speaking in a one-room schoolhouse. And the way it comes out in fact is that you have to take out the age-relevant material in every message and apply it to your own life and try to grow as fast as you can, as well as you can, with the Lord's help. There are other people who say that in planning sermons, I should try to make things fun and interesting. so we get more people, so we have big crowds. But I always think about how little time there is. There's no time for fun and interesting. We're not here to play games. And when you consider how much of your entire life is spent sitting here listening to the Bible being preached, it's not much. And the Lord says these are the last days. The Lord says He could come at any minute. And He also says that we're in the midst of the greatest spiritual warfare the world has ever known in all its history. That warfare is here now. That's not time for fun and games. But there's a promise that the Lord Jesus gave. He said, "Ask and it shall be given." There's a command that He gave. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So when I am preparing a message, I know right up front that I'm dealing with the eternal Word of God. No problem with that. Has no errors in it. He can apply it to hearts. But what is my part? My part is to find out what the Lord is thinking about any given passage. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Not what He was thinking about back then when He spoke it. What He's thinking about now. As He is, so are we in this world. It's very important that we realize that we're living in times that are different from any other time. And we need to know what the Lord is thinking about these things now. We come to examine them in the Word of God. We want to know, Lord, what are you thinking about love one another? Of all the phrases in the Bible, this is certainly the most repeated phrase of all. Love one another. It's printed millions of times a year. Sunday school literature, daycare coloring papers, craft projects, love one another. I read years ago when we had the bookstore that love one another has always been the best-selling plaque, motto, that's ever been on the market. The kind of things people sit on their desk or hang on the wall. Love one another. And it's not just church, not just secular people. Counselors use it. Self-help book writers, psychiatrists, psychologists, motivational speakers. Seems like a good idea to love one another. It's probably been memorized by more Sunday school children than any other Bible statement. Love one another. But what does the Lord think about it? What is He thinking about it right now? I'll tell you one thing He's thinking. He's thinking, where would you find anybody on the face of the earth? Unless it was perhaps somebody mentally deranged. Where would you find anybody who disagreed with the idea that people should love one another? Everybody wants it to happen to them, around them. People are not turned away by that idea. Another thing to think about is this. Where is there any religion by any name, following any figure, that doesn't embrace and teach the idea that people should love one another. It's out there in all of them. Now, if you have discernment, these ideas cause some facts to your mind. One is how the devil works. You remember the Garden of Eden? He takes a little portion of God's Word and he says, here it is. This is the Bible. This is the truth. It's in the Bible. God said it. Don't you believe it? Love one another. The devil says, certainly we can agree that we should all love one another. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Episcopalians, the Charismatics, the contemporary worshipers, the Evangelicals, the Mormons, all these people believe in Jesus. Why can't we just love one another? Are we even supposed to love one another if they're Jews who don't believe in Jesus? Or if they're Muslims? Or if they're homosexual Christians? Or if they're Buddhists? We should even love one another when people are agnostics or atheists. The devil says it seems reasonable to me that we, if we are commanded to love one another, and we really mean it, then the ecumenical movement must be true. Must be true. All religions are basically the same. Every man has the right to believe in the God of his own choice. We're all going to the same place, just by different roads. That's what Mother Teresa believed and taught. The epitome of love one another. A Roman Catholic nun who lived for and with the poorest people of India. Billy Graham thinks she's saved. Dr. Dobson thinks she's saved. The Pope thinks she's saved because she epitomized love one another. If you have discernment, you know I'm talking about the kind of deception that we're running into in these last days. Deception that most people can't handle. The devil knows how to deceive people. He does it with partial truth. He does it with portions of the Word of God. He does it with leading questions. You know these things. But you also know, at least I hope you do, that God is still on the throne. He's still seeking the lost. He's still resisting the proud. He's still giving grace to the humble. And he's going to keep doing that right up until the time that the Lord Jesus comes. The devil's at work, but the Lord is also at work. He's at work to help the humble student of his word not to be deceived. It's absolutely true that the Bible tells us to love one another. But that's not all the Bible tells us. We need to study it. We need to understand what it says. We need to see that this is not some passing social commentary for our entertainment. This is some of the most serious material that our minds will ever consider. What I read you this morning is the first mention of this specific phrase, love one another. Most of you remember the rule of first mention. The rule of first mention is that the key to understanding anything in the Bible has to do with the first place you find it. The first mention of a subject, the first mention of a phrase, a person, a place, a thing, a doctrine, the first mention is the key to the understanding of it throughout the rest of the pages of the Word of God. And here we see in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. First time that exact phrase is used in the Bible. But I'll tell you something else interesting about it. That phrase is found 13 times in the Bible. And the number 13 is the number of rebellion. Seems a lie, doesn't it? That love one another would be in here 13 times. Somehow connected with rebellion. I'll tell you why it's like that. It's because man rebels against this commandment more than any other single commandment except the one to love God. The point of rebellion, the second most powerful point of rebellion in the life of every person. We fail to do it. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice this, there is none other commandment greater than these. The Lord Jesus was talking about the Old Testament law. They came and asked him, what's the most important? The Lord said the first, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. We talked about that in our recent message on obedient love. I tell you, folks, you can't even give me a good definition of your heart. You wouldn't make out much better on soul. You wouldn't do much better on mind or strength. We can't even define those things properly, much less love God with all of them perfectly. And that's the point that's made by the law of God. That's why we need to get saved. We cannot love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Verse 31, and the second is like it, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do it. It's a human impossibility because of the nature that's in man. The nature of man cannot cope with either one of those. And as we saw in that study, there are 3,763 commands of God in the Bible that need to be enumerated and listed and studied every day and memorized so that you can keep them all. Because though a man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's the assessment of the judge of the universe. But the important point to think about is this. God is seeking to save sinners. He says that very clearly. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. God is seeking to save sinners. But you need to realize this. Sinners are seeking to keep from getting saved. If you haven't heard this Paris Reedhead tape, when you hear it, you're going to hear about his experience as a missionary to Africa. Now, he went to Africa with all sorts of ideas that had been communicated about missions in general. And his idea was that he would get there and there would be these poor benighted heathens standing there on the shore waiting for somebody to give them the gospel and they get saved. It wasn't like that. He said instead, he found that there were monsters of iniquity. There were people who knew about God already, didn't want him. He found out that there were people who loved darkness rather than light. It wasn't because they were Africans. It was because they were humans. God has made of one blood all nations of men dwell on the whole earth. We're all the same. We're all children of Adam. And by nature, men love darkness rather than light. Children of Adam love darkness rather than light. Your children love darkness rather than light. Your children are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, just like their father. You know their father, don't you? If you study the Bible, you do. Because the Bible teaches that every soul is born dead spiritually. Born dead. Not sick, dead. They're born with Satan as their spiritual father. The Bible says they're children of the wicked one. A child of disobedience. A child of wrath. A child of the world, of their father, the devil. All those names are not in the Bible to play around. They're there to convince you that that's what all the children are like who come to this world. They're born into the wrong spiritual family. And unless they're born again and become new creatures in Christ Jesus, they're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. They'll never see or enter the kingdom of God except they're born again. Get a new spiritual father, new spiritual family. A person who fails to understand the depths of sin will never understand the heights of love. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He certainly wasn't talking about the fact that there was anybody who didn't have much to be forgiven of. Have you ever thought about what the psalmist said? About being in a pit of miry clay. If you don't know about the pit of miry clay, you understand very little about what it means to be a sinner. But I'll tell you a secret. You love little. I love little. We're living these last days when the whole world loves little. God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. You're under the curse, not for what you do, for what you don't do, but because you, because you fail to continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do. That's the condition of a lost person. God is angry with the wicked every day. Not some days, every day. That's the condition of the lost. Your sin, one of your sins, assaulted every part of the holiness of God to the point that by his judgment, he says, with that one sin, you're guilty of all. All the sin set forth by the law of God. Because the holiness of God is violated. And you know what happened? The innocent Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, had to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire for you. That's what you deserved. The vengeance of eternal fire. And he suffered the vengeance of eternal fire for you. The Lord Jesus said in essence one time, forget the sins of the world. We hear a lot about the sins of the world. We get our self-justification from being lumped in with everybody. He said, forget about the sins of the world. You know those people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? These contemporary people, you're thinking to yourself how bad they must be because of what's happening to them. The Lord Jesus said, forget all those people you think are bad sinners. Because except ye repent, you personally, ye shall all likewise perish. This is not a community thing here. This is individual. So then, every one of us should give account of himself to God. Failure to love God, failure to love neighbor, that's convicting stuff. That's why it's in the Bible. Because the Bible says, in Galatians 3:24, that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, a teacher to force us to understand. We can't save ourselves. We can have all these thoughts about what it means to be sin and a sinner and so forth. But the bottom line is you're going to burn in hell forever if all this stuff doesn't bring you to Christ, that you might be justified by faith. But look back at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Salvation is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But what is being stated here is something we can understand only after we've become a child of God. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means a new commandment for a new creature. This is something for saved people. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now there's a very crucial point here. The Lord was not correcting the Old Testament law. You know, the Old Testament law said many times, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That was part of the law, part of the convicting power of the Word of God to speak to hearts. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. You're not coming up with some new thing. Romans 7:12 tells us the Old Testament law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Romans 13:10 tells us something absolutely amazing. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. For love is fulfilling of the law. Love that comes from God, applied to the life, enables us to keep the law of God. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He wasn't correcting the Old Testament. Man has a false view of the law of God. Man thinks he can obey it. No way. His nature is corrupted. That prevents him from obeying it. You can't love God, you can't love your neighbor, you can't love anyone else the way you're supposed to until you get saved. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even the good things we try to do are like filthy rags by God's reckoning, because they're for self-glory. They're activated by self-will. But turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2, and you'll see something about this new commandment. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. The topic here is assurance of salvation. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. We talked about this recently when we studied obedient love. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's some serious words there. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He's saying that we can know by obedient love. That's assurance of salvation. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Telling us we should be like the Lord Jesus. He's our measuring stick. But notice this, verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. He says, I'm not changing the word of God. The Old Testament law said, love your neighbor. He says, I'm not changing the law that you've heard from the beginning. But, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He gives us the reason. He says the reason for the new commandment is because you have a true light in your heart, and the darkness of being lost is past. It's a new commandment for a new creature. It's something new because you have been made free from the darkness of sin. Look at 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now look at 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He's talking to these people about what happened to them when they get saved. They were in darkness. The true light of the world, the Lord Jesus, came to their heart. He came and enlightened them. And now they're receiving this new commandment, which is not of works, not of the law, a new commandment which is true in him and in you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now turn back, if you will, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That's where the devil stops. The devil takes out the three words, put it on a plaque, put it on your desk, memorize it, love one another. You know what that is? That's confusion. Without the power to do it, what does it mean? It means nothing. The only power to do it comes from the Lord Jesus. That's why you have to keep reading. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Totally different thing. Totally different from love thy neighbor as thyself. Totally different from love one another isolated. Love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment for a new creature. A new commandment for a new life in Christ. What did he do? Well, for one thing, he set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Talking about the yoke of trying to keep the law. Trying to work your way to heaven. Get rid of that thinking. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. A new commandment for a new life in Christ. The old commandment was law. The new commandment is grace. You know John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was law. The New Testament is grace. The second thing, the Old Testament was works. The New Commandment is faith. I want you to see this. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Notice this. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. The old commandment was the law of works. If you could do it, if you could keep it, you could live. You could be saved by works if you could keep the law. That's what the Lord Jesus said. But it can't happen. Because of our nature. Because the only one who ever did it was the Lord Jesus. And we're not Him. We're like Him in only the smallest of ways. As long as we're in this flesh. The old commandment was works. The new commandment is faith. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. By faith. Because the Lord Jesus has died and is alive forevermore. Because I live, ye shall live also. There's a third thing that's true. The old commandment was I. The new commandment is not I, but Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The old commandment was I. The new commandment is not I, but Christ. There's another one. The old commandment was energy of the flesh. The new commandment is power of the Spirit. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The old commandment was in the energy of the flesh. The new commandment is the power of the Spirit. But there's a fifth thing. The old commandment brought condemnation. The new commandment brings salvation. You remember the condemnation. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Old Testament, the old commandment brought condemnation. The new commandment brings salvation. The devil left out that key phrase, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? How did he love us? We need to know that. Because the same things have got to apply to our minds and hearts and thinking if we're going to be like him. If we're going to be able to obey his command to love one another as he has loved us, we have to know how he loved us. I'll tell you one way he loved us. Submission. Philippians 2:7. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. I wonder if that's your view of life. The Christian life is the only one you have if you have any life at all. To take upon you the form of a servant. That takes an attitude of submission. There's a second manner in which he loved us. He loved us with humility and obedience. Philippians 2:8. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself and became obedient. That's the Spirit that is in Christ. Is that the Spirit in you? He humbled himself and became obedient. There's a third thing we've got to remember. If we're going to love one another as he loved us. He loved us with self-denial. Luke 22:42. The Lord Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Try keeping that attitude all day long. One day, it'll change your life. Not my will, but thine be done. Attitude of self-denial. But he also loved us with an attitude of service. You remember what the king said in Matthew 25:40? He said, "Inasmuch as you are the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." That was the attitude of the Lord Jesus. He didn't just deal with big time people. He said, "When you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And finally, he loved us with self-sacrifice. John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this." There isn't any greater love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I wonder if you would do that. If you would lay down your life for your friends. Not many people would. There's some who would do it for their family. There's some who would do it in cases where they could feel really noble. But to make that a daily way of loving, a daily way of thinking, different world altogether. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." But we don't want to miss that last part of the verse. John 13:35. Let's read them both. John 13:34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Notice this. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What does the Lord think about that? That's what we're asking ourselves. What does the Lord think about that? I'll tell you what he thinks about it. He thinks, where is it? Where is it in these last days? Where is it in the hearts of his people? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." He's stating the weakness of the testimony of the last days. Why people don't get saved? Why people don't believe the gospel? Because that which could be true and should be true is not true. That's why, as we saw last time, the Lord Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Let's bow together as we pray. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts today, to hide these verses in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We ask you to help us to understand what you meant when you said, "Love one another as I have loved you." We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.